Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop, this is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everyone, to an absolutely stunning weekend. The rain is going to be gone away for a while, but it has caused problems for some of my listeners. We will discuss that, and yours truly. There is a bunch of stuff that the rain has caused, and some of it I've touched on before, some of it I have to touch on again. But that is one of the many things that I have lined up for today's show. Reminding you, 345-1140 is how you get through to the show. I have to say hello to my producer, Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine, sir. I know that you you surprised your lady with an engagement party last week.
I did, yep.
Dennis made it. I was out of town. I apologize.
That's okay. Thank you for the cowboy caviar.
Don't thank me. That's from Piedmont Smokehouse, man. I just drove an hour both directions to pick it up.
Hey. However it was done, and I appreciate it.
It is so yummy, and and he doesn't even, he makes it, and he doesn't like it. And that's weird when a chef makes something, knows that his clientele is all about it, but that just shows good chefiness.
Well, I told you that I polished it off over the course of this week, but I will admit, you know, after about the fourth or fifth time eating a very hefty helping of it, well, I was like, okay, I think after I finish this, I don't think I need any more cowboy caviar in my life for a little while.
Well, for those that don't know, it's like beans and corn and tomatoes and onions and peppers. And
oh,
then
it's so good.
And it's like a honey mustard
vinaigrette. Yeah.
He was only supposed to make 4 pounds, but that felt like every bit of about 8.
Oh, well, yeah. So it was in this huge bowl, and then I still had the dressing in my refrigerator.
I told you only needed half, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. I might just dump the rest of that dressing because I don't think I have a use for it unless.
No, it'll go bad.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, that's one of the things. When's the last time you actually went through your fridge?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did that very recently, and, you know, just cleaning out like leftovers. And then started going through stuff that had expired.
Yeah. I will say, like, that's the good thing about me and my cousin who I live with. Mm-hmm. Like, we're good about not leaving certain, you know, leaving food in there to go bad.
Right.
Usually the only thing that will get thrown away is maybe the occasional carton of eggs. Like, if it
really.
And I did this week, like, I had a carton of eggs that had maybe like 4 eggs left in it, like a dozen eggs that had like 4 eggs in it.
Right.
I think the sell by date was like May 31st, and so I pulled out my nifty smartphone, was like, when are eggs bad after the sell by date? And they're like, usually if you keep them in the refrigerator long enough,
they'll last a while.
Yeah, you can eat them like 2 or 3 months past they won't taste very good. They'll lose a lot of the quality and the health benefits.
Little known fact, those people that raise chickens, okay, you can basically, if you get an egg straight from the chicken and it's still got the dirt and everything like that on it, it can stay on the counter for a while, but once you wash it, it has to go in the fridge.
Yeah.
So once it's clean, you know, the natural enzymes are all gone.
Yeah.
So you threw them out.
And I ate them.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was May 31st, and I was like, well, today is only June 13th, so, and they tell you to do the bowl of water test, where it's like, if you take a bowl of water, you take the egg, if it lays on its side, if it sinks to the bottom of the bowl and lays on its side, that means the egg is still good.
Because the yolk is moving.
Yeah. So if it stands straight up or it floats on top of the water, then it's bad and you need to throw it out.
Well, see, what I did, the reason I didn't make it is because my lady and I, her parents have a house up in Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Oh, yes.
A 5 hour. Okay, yes, it's beautiful up there. It's also chilly.
Yeah.
Climbing in the ocean, not nearly as pleasant as you would hope.
Right.
Though it was funny watching the dachshund run around on the beach, and he thought the water was cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I better stay close to this dog because he's not that bright. Wave just came up and took him out. I mean, he disappeared for like half a second. My wife loses her mind. I'm like, I got him. He's okay.
Yeah.
But that was a lesson. But what we do when we do go up there is I go through the fridge and the cabinets.
Yeah.
Because nobody goes to a house. You don't
especially
live
a
there.
Rental property.
Well, no, it's not a rental. It is strictly their place.
Ah.
Okay. But I mean, the mother-in-law is like, eat what's in the fridge. And I'm like, I found all kinds of stuff. Like, if we don't eat this, we didn't have to go out. But my wife goes through the medicine cabinet. Okay. And she found like ibuprofen that expired in 2015 and sunscreen that I think, you know, Carter was president when they bought it. Not quite that. But, you know, people don't think of it. There's all this stuff in your house. You do have to go through it on the regular.
Yeah.
I cleaned out my fridge. I didn't realize I had that much space.
Right.
It really came down to that. But
yeah,
I am sorry that I missed the party.
Well, it sounds like you had fun either way.
So. From what I remember, sure.
Yeah, we had a packed house, which was nice. And the surprise went off without a hitch. I was amazed that everything last weekend went off so perfectly.
Considering you put it up on social media that it was happening.
Well, I posted it. It was happening as it was happening.
Ah.
So I didn't ruin the surprise. I was more, because she was like, I knew something was off. There was something off with you. Like, you were acting kind of weird. So I was kind of like, are you okay? And you kept brushing me off going, yeah, I'm fine. And she was like, I just kind of figured something was weird. Something was a little off with you. And I was like, I wasn't nervous about actually proposing. I was more looking at the clock. I spent more time watching the clock going, okay, I need to have it done by this time. I need to be ready by this time. I need to be there by this time.
Do you realize if she's this in tune to you now,
yeah.
Okay. After a year of marriage, you're getting you're going to get away with nothing.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You are just, you know, it's going to be like you'll do this someday. Someday you're going to have kids, okay?
Yep.
And you're going to go to the school. I've been there. Okay? Cuz I was a stepdad. You're going to go to the school to pick up the kid. And you're going to walk into the classroom where everybody's like huddled together doing their after school projects. And you're going to look at your kid, boy or girl, doesn't matter. And they're going to look up at you. They're not going to say hello. They're not going to say, daddy. They are going to look at you. And you know that look when your dog poops on the carpet and he knows or she knows it did bad? Your kid is going to make that face.
Yeah.
And look down. And you're just going to look at them, and you're going to look at the teacher and go, what?
Yeah. What did they do?
So that is the exact same face. Your wife is going to know. She's going to come home. And even if you're trying to pull it off, even the slightest drop of the eye, she's going to look at you and go, what?
Yeah. Pretty much.
So you are doomed. 345-1140 is the phone number. Got a ton of stuff to talk about. There is going to be some talk about pets, not just because I have a new one, but I almost ended up with a new one yesterday by accident. And it's that time of year, so I want to give you an idea what to do with ferals. Those of you know, I've been pretty keen on them over the years. Can people put a bigger breaker in? If the breaker keeps tripping, we'll discuss that. We'll talk about where the water came from in a lady's basement and why it was there after all these years. My gutters got to go. I'm going to put in some new gutters. There is a really bad tick virus coming into Virginia, plus a ton of other stuff. and I'll take your calls at 345-1140. My name is Richard McCann, and this is the Home Show, News Radio WRVA. News Radio, WRVA, 345-1140 is the phone number. Jordan, did you just hear that commercial about the purple mattress?
Yeah.
I am going to have to call them. I'm serious, dude. I sweat like a demon at night.
Yeah.
I mean, she's wrapped up like a gerbil in a nest under two blankets and a sheet. I have the air conditioner in the window blowing right on my bare backside, and I'm still sweating. I got to, maybe a purple mattress is the way to go.
Maybe.
That or I got to talk to my doctor again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very warm-natured as well. I have to have a fan going. Sarah gets all, she's like, I'm cold. And I'm like, your body heat's making me hot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just, you know, love you, sweetie. Get on the other side of the bed.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Now it's worse. It's so much worse because I have a 5'2" blonde and a 4-pound dog pushing me off the... 220 pounds, and I'm hanging off the side of the bed, okay? I woke up the other day. I got up. I made the coffee. I come into the bedroom, and literally the dog has shifted itself onto her pillow and is lying on her head. Yeah, I was going to post a picture, but I don't want to post a picture of my wife sleeping on Facebook.
Right.
But that little – he's just looking at me like, what? This seems perfectly natural.
Dogs are weird sometimes.
This one is bizarre. The worst part is now it does not want to go outside and pee or poop unless she takes it.
Do you have the puppy pads?
He's holding it.
Oh.
He is holding it until mom gets home. I'm okay with that. Saving me some time. 345-1140. I know. Why don't you get to your show, Richard? Stop talking about the stupid dog. Let's talk about the stupid cat. This has happened to me yesterday. Yesterday, I had to get up and get out to meet with a new sponsor, which will be starting next week. We've got a new networking company. I'm very excited about this. House networking, house security, all that tech that's lying around your house that you have no idea how to use, like yours truly, they're going to be able to. I'll talk about it next week, but I had to meet with them, so I had to get up a little earlier than I like to. Let's face it, nobody likes to get up early. People will tell me, I like getting up early. Liar! You're a liar. And then I go to bed really early. Shut up. So I had to get up early, get out of the house. And I'm going to say, thankfully, the battle wagon was out of gas. You know, the lights coming on. I'm one of those people. I know my truck. I can make it a little farther. But no, I knew I had to get some petrol. And so I turn out of my neighborhood, start cruising down Williamsburg Road. And way off in the distance, I see something small in the center of the road. Now, I like to think that I'm pretty observant. And I look out, and here is this fuzzy little thing. And I'm like, what is that? Is that a rabbit? Is that a squirrel? And I got closer in the very center of the road. Thankfully, no traffic coming. Was an orange kitten in the middle of the road. And I lost my mind. I mean, you know, I've seen... I've seen too many animals get hit by cars. I've been pretty fortunate, knock on wood. I think except for the odd bird that flew into my windshield. I had one flying in my face one time. I was on my motorcycle doing 55 miles an hour, and a bird went flap, 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 pow, right into the face. You know, a small bird at 55 miles per hour feels a lot like getting punched in the face. So I see this kitten in the middle of the road, and I mean, as soon as I can, I'm pulling off and trying to get him. And as soon as I pull off, he kind of looks at me and takes off out of the street and up into a house that's abandoned near in my neighborhood, up underneath the bushes. And my thought is, okay, I have an appointment in less than an hour. Can I catch this cat? I couldn't help it. You know, I remember some feral cats from years ago that were in my neighborhood, and I was putting out food for them,
they were doing okay. And then I came down the street one day and one of them was hit in the street. It was heartbreaking. I scooped it up and disposed of it. So I climb up, I run over, and it's underneath these bushes and meowing like crazy. You know, I don't think he was just weaned. And that's the way feral cats are. You know, pretty much when, yeah, you're done, bye. And I admit, I did everything I could to capture this thing, but it was having none of it. So I did the best I could. I spent like 10 minutes trying, like, come on, guy, just give me a break. And I'm in the back of my head. I know, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to catch this thing. It's going to scratch the life out of me. Probably bite me. Do I have something to wrap him up into the truck? Of course I do. I'm lazy. I never take the shirts or jacket. I'm pretty sure there's still two jackets left from early spring in my truck. But my plan was, okay, I will capture him, take the hit, wrap him up in something. I'm only half a block from, I can see my house. There's my house. It's right there. Walk him over, walk inside and say, honey, I'm putting this thing in the bathroom and put it in there. It'll hate life, but I can deal with it later. But it was having none of it. Now, here's the thing. The reason I bring this up is this is that time of year. The kittens are being born and they're everywhere. Feral cats are a problem. There are feral cat colonies all over the United States. I've read some of the stats for the amount of things, birds, and various animals that these things kill daily. I mean, I was reading thousands of animals that feral cats kill every day. They have to eat, right? Yeah. I've also been reading articles where they're saying that these colonies, and I know of a couple of them. I can name one right now that's right off of 95 and 64 behind a gas station. I can name another one I know of right now. It's in King William, and the ladies of King William feed them. They have broken up into different days. Hey, it's your day to feed the cats. I'm like, you're not doing those cats any good. And every day someone goes out. There's another colony off of Laburnum behind the old U crops. You see them out there. And the problem with these is not only are they just breeding constantly, but they're also subject to disease, depending on what they, you know, get into. And the amount of cat urine and feces is actually quite dangerous as far as disease is concerned. So there's been debates, you know, what do you do about these colonies? You know, there's some people that say the word, you know, what would be the worst thing you could say to anybody is, you know, we need to remove the colony. What does that mean? Yeah, it means exactly what you think it means. Removing the colony means killing the colony. Oh, but they're so fuzzy and cute. Yeah, but they're also diseased and possibly starving, and they're not helping things. They're killing stuff and causing possible health problems. But what I want to do, I'm going to tell you all about a couple of stories about some ferals that I've dealt with, how you can help if you want to. Maybe you don't care. There's some people who don't care. I kind of do. Can't help it. It was a fuzzy little kitten, you know, and who doesn't love a kitten? This is the Home Show. WRBA. I have Channel 12 News on in here, and their residents clogged drains causes flooding in the museum district. Okay, yeah. Guess what, people? I haven't seen a street sweeper in my neighborhood in a year. A whole year. The front of my house has a swamp. They came out like, I don't know, probably 10 months ago. This lady's out front. She's measuring my sidewalks. I'm like, hey, what's going on? She goes, well, we see that the sidewalks are raised up here, here, and here. I'm like, yeah, it's been like that for decades. well, the city is going to come in. They're going to fix that. I'm like, oh, I mean, this young girl, she's working for the city. She's like, oh, yes, they're going to come in and fix this. Yeah, get them to sweep the streets. I dare you. They're going to fix the sidewalks, please. They'll fix the sidewalks when somebody trips and knocks out a tooth. That's when that'll happen. Sorry, don't mean to seem negative, but just I find it funny. Like, oh, things are flooding because the drains are stopped up. Yeah, everywhere. Sorry, I'm not the museum district. So 3-4-5-11-40. So here's what happened yesterday. As I was driving down the street, and there was a little orange kitten. I mean, this thing was tiny. It was really, really small. I don't know if he just got away from his mom. Mama, you know, walked away. I don't know. But he was freaked out. And he was in the middle of the street. So all I could really do was pull off to the side road and try to catch him. What I was going to do with him, I wasn't really sure. Well, that's not exactly true. But I should have known from the past that, well, he was going to have none of it. That's just the way it is. And so, I mean, he ran up underneath some bushes, kept crying, you know, and they're crying. You think, okay, well, look, dude, I can help you. He wasn't hissing. He was just crying. I'm like, dude, I got you. Come on. Come. No, he wanted nothing to do with it. Now, for those of you who've been with me forever, you will know that I've had quite a bit of experience in my neighborhood with feral cats. And the laws are so weird, but there are groups out there that are trying to help. So, I mean, the first feral cat I ever really dealt with was a black and white cat. And, you know, which is he was a little tuxedo cat, and his sister that was solid black and fuzzy. And all I could really do was feed him. You know, I figured if I put a little food out on my porch, they'll stay close. And they did, for the most part. Until one day, as I said in the last segment, I was driving home down Williamsburg Road. And I saw that one of them had run out into the street and was killed. And it upset me, of course. So I started looking around about what I can do about the other one, about this black and white cat. You know, he was getting fairly used to coming up on the porch. He would not let me lay hands on him. That was not going to happen. But he was used to saying, okay, this is a safer place. And so I called around and I found a place called Prevent a Litter. Now, they are a nonprofit in Carytown. And they're not just for feral cats. They're for pet owners. Also, if you remember a year ago when my wife and I adopted what was essentially a feral cat. She was a rescue. We set it up so that she could go to Prevent a Litter to get spayed and get her shots. Now, they do this at a steep discount, in some cases, for free. Let's face it, all of that stuff is expensive. You know, having a pet is expensive. Yeah, I come from that generation. Like, look, Doc, if it's over $500, we may have to have a talk about something. I know that sounds awful. It really does. But for some people, that's what they got. Even giving them up for rescue is not an option. That's always an option. Okay, today it is. Back then, it wasn't. Do you feel me? So what I did is I contacted Prevent a Litter because I wanted this little black and white tuxedo cat to have a chance at least. And the best thing you can do for feral animals in your neighborhood is get them spayed, neutered, and get their shots. And so I called them up. I was like, okay, what do I do? And they were kind enough to give me what's called a live trap. And you've probably seen them. People use them to catch raccoons and possum and all kinds of crazy stuff. And the thing is that it, you know, it opens on either side. It has a pressure plate in the center. You put some food in there. And as soon as they come in and touch that pressure plate, both ends close. And they are ticked off. Mad like you would not believe. Unhappy. Hissing. Spitting. Scratching. If they could get to you, they would rip your face off. And, well, it was the best I could do. I borrowed one of the traps. They said have it back in the next couple of days. Put it out that night with some wet food in it. And quite literally, a couple hours later, I hear what my uncle would refer to as a ruckus. And I went outside, and he, the black and white cat, was in there losing his mind. He would have killed me if he could. And I just took him inside where it'd be warm because it was colder. Covered him with a towel because he'd feel safer. And the next day I took him to prevent a litter. They had him taken care of that day. He had all his shots. Now here's the thing. My first thought was, okay, I'll just take him out to a farm someplace. That's like the least healthy thing you can do for these animals. Take them out to someplace they don't know. Chances are they will die there. You have to bring them back to the neighborhood or the environment that they are used to, which was, you know, for me, my neighborhood, and release them back into what they consider their home. And I did. And he was mad and he ran off, and I did not see him for days. But I started putting out a little food again. And I started putting out a little food again, and eventually he started coming back. And eventually I laid hands on him. And eventually he became my cat. We named him Bond. And he was a good cat. And he was kind of an indoor-outdoor cat. And, you know, I loved on him. And, well, I lost him in the divorce. But not only that, within a couple of years later, most of you remember, I had the same situation. This time it was a mom and two kittens. Just by treating them right, I managed to get them coaxed in the house. I didn't have another cat, and they lived in my home for an entire winter and then took off. Before I could get them spayed, they just left. I don't know what happened to them. So if you have feral animals in your neighborhood, my best suggestion is talk to your SPCA, animal control, talk to people like Prevent a Litter, and see what you can do to at least make the situation better. Because if they are out there and they are sick, they will spread that sickness. If they can still have babies, they going to have babies. Remember when my wife and I adopted that cat about a year ago? It escaped within 2 days, maybe three. It found a hole that I didn't even expect it to find, and it was gone. And the first thing we knew is that night, she's losing her mind. I'm like, honey, the cat will come back. It will be fine. And that night, all I knew was every Tom in the neighborhood, she was in heat. She hadn't had her, you know, we hadn't had her long enough to get her fixed. And every Tom in the neighborhood was like, meow, meow. That's all I heard all night, and all I could think was, oh, no. When she does come home, we're going to have kittens. I don't need kittens. Took her 2 days. She finally came home. We got her fixed immediately. Fortunately, we didn't have cats. But if those other, you know, strays had any kind of disease, they could have easily passed it on to her. So the best thing you can do, my friends, get them fixed, get them caught, and get them taken care of. But remember, you can't keep them and you can't take them out into the middle of nowhere. You got to release them back into the neighborhood. At least they won't make more. That's all I can say. 345-1140. That's 345-1140. That's how you get through to the home show. Also, do me a favor. Follow me on Facebook because I put up a lot of stories that I do not get up to. And that's where people have been putting stories Florida stories for me because we do a segment called It Happened in Florida. Do me a favor, though. Don't send me the stories about, you know, a guy killing his girlfriend. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear about somebody beating up his mom or a husband doing something awful. That happens everywhere, and it's an absolute travesty that it happens even today. But your silly stories, I'll take those. News Radio, WRVA. WRVA 345-1140 is the phone number. Let's jump right in. Hey, Andrew and Henrico, what's going on?
Yes, sir. I've got a chimney on my home. I'm not going to use it anymore, but birds have gotten into it, and I guess they've died, a couple of them, and I don't know what to do about getting rid of the smell.
You got to have somebody come in there and clean out the chimney, brah.
Okay.
And
what company sells caps where I can cut, covered over?
What I would do is I'd call my friends over at Chimney Saver Solutions.
Okay.
They were a sponsor of the show for a while. I think John Reed is their rep now. They used to rep here on the show. I've been to their facility. It's actually really super nice. I like any place that has their own classroom. I'm big on companies that own a classroom. Well, if you think about it, you're continuing to train your people. That makes me happy because I tell you what, keeping up with tech is hard. But that you're going to have them clean it, and they'll put a cap on it while they're there.
Okay. Chimney Saver Solution.
Yep.
All right, sir. I thank you very much.
All right. You tell them I sent you, all right?
Okay, I will.
Thank you, sir. 345-1140. A very nice lady called in. And based on the things we were talking about in the last couple of segments, we're talking about feral animals in your neighborhood. Now, remember, animals in your neighborhood, that is their natural habitat. So even if you call it, okay, perfect example, years ago, I'm talking before you and I were friends. Before I was on radio, I lived in Fulton Hill. I rented a house. I was very happy with it. And if I remember the way that day went, I had been up for like 24 hours straight. I had driven from Richmond to Goldsboro, North Carolina, came back, and then I had to drive out to like the other side of Charlottesville, and I'd been up for ever. And I had a cat at the time, my cat, personal cat, and he was an indoor-outdoor cat. I know it's not healthy for them, but this guy, and if you try to keep him as an indoor cat, because he came from New York with me, I mean, while he was an indoor cat, he was evil. No other way to put it. Evil. And so if I let him out a little bit, he always came home and he was not evil anymore. So I had come home. It was 2:00 in the morning. And I wish I was one of those people. Jordan, are you one of those people that can just go home and go straight to bed?
Not necessarily straight to bed, but
I have a sister and her husband. They can come home, climb into bed, head hits the pillow, out cold.
Nah,
I can't do it.
I need to decompress a little bit. And
I don't care how tired I am. I need to chill out for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And so I had been up for 24 hours, and the back kitchen door was open just a little bit, and I hear this crunch, 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 crunch in the kitchen. And I'm like, that's not my cat eating. And I go in, and there's a possum in my house. Long story short, I chased the possum out of the house. That was a weird thing to do at 3:00 in the morning. Because I tell you what, they're not real pleasant creatures. I don't hate them. They eat more ticks than anything. I'm happy to have them in the yard, eat the ticks, but don't come in the house. And I talked to the animal control the next day. I'm like, I had a possum in my house. They said, uh-huh. I said, I should have called you. They said, okay. I said, what would you have done? They said, we would have captured it and let it loose in your neighborhood. It's a natural habitat. So that's how that works. So I was talking about feral cats in the neighborhood. That's their natural habitat. And I was talking about Prevent a Litter, a great company or organization. They're not a company. They're an organization, a nonprofit in Carytown, where one of my listeners was kind enough to call in and tell me about this. Didn't know it existed. I just looked it up online. It's Operation Catnip of Richmond. How cool is that? I like the name. Catnip. Ah! You see what they did there, Jordan? Because they're nipping. They're nipping cats. It's a pun. Cute. They are a nonprofit. And let me see. I'll pull up. Operation Catnip is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization committed to humanely reducing the feral and stray cat overpopulation through trap, neuter, return, TNR. TNR is positive, life-affirming, and preventative approach to solving overpopulation among homeless cats. And they are having an upcoming event. June 9th was their last one. They have another one coming up July 14th. They are also looking for vets or techs who would be so gracious as to volunteer a little time to their cause. And you can contact them, operationcatnip@gmail.com. Like I said earlier, feral cat colonies are a problem. Feral cats in your neighborhood are just not healthy for, well, even your own animals. I live in the city, and maybe I'm looking at it like that. But I know a lot of people who live out in the country, they let their animals outside. Feral animals in your neighborhood are a danger to your pets. So think about that and do what you can. Like I said, I've had great success over the past, 15 years or so. I had one feral that became a pet. I had three. I had a mama and two babies. I say babies, they were full grown. Lived with me. Well, the mama cat stayed for a while and then she took off. And the other two, one was a Siamese and one was a long-haired black. They were brother and sister. The Siamese decided to move in on his own. I came home one day and I realized the back door had blown open. I didn't have any cats and my neighborhood's gotten a lot better. So I was like, okay, and nothing got out. I closed the door. And like hours later, I'm sitting on my couch, I'm watching a little TV, and I hear thump-a-thump. And I'm like, what the? I thought the ghost was back in my house. Yeah, there's been a ghost or two. It's an old house. It's going to happen. And I look up, and peeking around the corner of my staircase was this little Siamese face. And it took a long time for him to trust me, but both him and his sister, they stayed with me for an entire winter. Stayed inside, used a litter box, didn't go running out because it was cold, it was nasty, it was wet. As soon as it got warm, they took off. I never saw them again. I never saw them dead. My only hope is that they had a good enough life with me at Casa de McCann that years, after that winter, they went off and they found a home. That's okay. You know what? Stop. I know right now I can hear you. I can hear you like, yeah, Richard, just like that dog my dad took out to that farm, because he was going to live out his golden years there. Those cats went to the farm someplace. You know what? I can hope. I'd rather light a candle than curse the darkness. In my mind, they moved into another house in the neighborhood. I'm going to convince myself of that. I don't care what you say, but at least they were spayed, neutered, and they had their shots, right? Okay, it was a good thing. So, again, you got feral animals in your neighborhood. Talk to SPCA, prevent a litter, catnip, whatever you can. And, I know it sounds like a lot of work. It's worth it. It really is. I tell you what, if I can catch that little orange kitten that started this whole conversation, I'm doing it. And then I'll want to keep him. Oh, no. I'm going to need a bigger house. Or maybe I'll have to move out. No. Yeah, she'll make me move out. My name is Richard McCann, 345-1140 is the phone number. Let's listen to some news with Dennis Edwards and then more of your calls on News Radio WRVA.
And here we go.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions, he's got answers.
You've got problems. He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to our number dose of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. 345-1140 is the phone number. Jordan, are you busy next Sunday?
Next Sunday. Maybe. Why?
Somebody sent me this via the Facebook. By the way, people, follow me on Facebook. It's kind of an imperative. Track laps on Richmond Raceway.
Oh, I did see that.
You did see that? This is cool, dude. For $20, you can take your own vehicle around the RIR. I think I could do that. I wouldn't take the battle wagon, but I tell you what, I kind of like my my wife bought a Kia Soul. I know. Oh, you need a Kia Soul. That ain't a little... That thing handles like a go-kart. It is awesome. I might have to do... But here's the thing. They said, yeah, Richard, you can take motorcycles too. I ride a cruiser, and though it handles like a sport bike, I don't think I'd get anything out of taking it around a track. But Richmond Raceway, one of our partners here at WRVA. So check that out. It seems like fun. 345-1140. Pete in Richmond.
I got a question about pressure washers for home use.
They're awesome.
That was my first question. Do I have no business messing with this? Should I leave it to the professionals? I want to clean my patio, mildew, take it down to the beach, use it at the beach house. What am I looking for?
You know, I mean, for the minor stuff you're going to be doing, they make some pretty small pressure washers. They're not even gasoline powered. They're like electric. And I've used one of those to clean the mildew off the side of my mom's house. You're just trying to knock the dirt and stuff off of your patio, maybe clean up your boat.
Yep.
I get funny when it comes to pressure washers, mostly because I know someone that their son blew a hole in his throat playing with one. It wasn't funny, unfortunately. But the thing is, with a pressure washer, I mean, the people that use them day in and day out, they know which tips to use, how far away to stand. When pressure washers first came out, they were used to clean tractor trailers. And there was guys like, okay, cool, I'm going to clean this tractor trailer. Next thing you know, they're carving their initials into the side of it because they didn't know how to use the darn thing. So, I mean, I'd get a small one, one of the little electric jobs. Maybe it can inject some soap or bleach. Doubt you're going to need that. Because you're just using it for little jobs. You get one that's gasoline-powered, super high pressure. It's going to sit a lot. And we all know what happens to gasoline motors when they sit all the time. They just get, funky. Like, I got a chainsaw in my basement. I guarantee I've used it twice, and I know I've got to have it rebuilt. Because it's been sitting.
Brands, places to shop. Where's the best place to research this?
Brands. I don't really know. You can go to Big Blue or Big Orange. They've got a fairly extensive pressure washer area. Like I said, you just need something small because you're only doing little jobs here and there.
So spending $1,500 on a Honda, this is just silly. I just don't need to
you
do
don't,
that.
Are you okay? Are you going to use it? How often are you going to use it?
I guess about between the two plate once a month. Okay. So, not a lot.
No, you're not.
Maybe 3 weeks.
Well, the thing is, first, let's be clear. When you first get it, you're going to use it all the time. I'm going to clean the patio. I'm going to clean the windows. Honey, bring the dishes out front. You don't even have to scrape them. I'll just blast them plain. Woo! I mean, you're going to use it all the time when you first get it. And then you're done. And it sits. Even a lawnmower, you're going to use it once every 2 weeks until fall gets here. But it's not something you're going to use often, so do not spend a lot of money on it. And like I said, I'd get one of the little electric ones. I wouldn't even get gas-powered.
That's... Great. That's exactly what I needed.
All right. And your wife will be
you're
happy.
You're the best, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Why'd you buy a pressure? Honey, I don't even have to wait for the leaves to fall off the tree. I can blast them from down here. Woo! No, it's true. My dad bought one of the very first pressure washers when they came out, and we used it for everything. Suddenly, never washed a car ever. We never washed a car. Why are you going to wash a car for? It's just going to get dirty again. We were one of the, where'd that go? Dad got a pressure washer. Everybody wants to wash the car now. Oh, look, we can clean the windows. When's the last time you washed the windows? Never. I'm doing it now. When you first get something, you're going to find all kinds of reasons to use your pressure washer. Then it's all done. And it's not as fun anymore. In fact, after a while, it becomes work. Now, I will say this. I've talked to some of my real estate friends. I know one guy in particular. He listed a house, and the house needed to be pressure washed. The whole house needed to be pressure washed. The deck needed to be cleaned. I mean, a pressure washer does amazing things to decks. Don't get me wrong. And so he's like, okay, let me see. I have a big old pressure washer. He lives on a farm. He had plenty of reason to use it. He's like, well, I got the big old pressure washer. Looking at the house, I could take this, put it in my truck, haul it away over there, put it on the ground, hook it up, pour gas into it, pressure wash the house, pick it up, put it back in my truck, take it all the way home, set it back down. Then he called his guy that does pressure washing. And he calls his guy that does the pressure washing. He goes, yo, Bill, I've got a house that needs pressure washing. The deck needs to be cleaned. How much is that? And the guy goes, $250. And my friend went, oh, deal. Remember what's the most precious thing in your life? My wife and kids. Okay, yeah, okay, your wife and kids. Fine. After that, what's the most precious thing in your life? Your time. It's the most valuable thing you own. So if you can save time, you are technically saving money. I have plenty of people say, Richard, why don't you do this yourself? Simple. It'll take me more time. I can take my time and put it towards better uses. So buying a pressure washer and doing these things versus having someone pressure wash for you depends on the job. What he wanted, he just needed a little one. They make these little pressure washers. They might go up to 1500 PSI, I think. It's been a while. And then he can put it away and he doesn't have to worry about it. Next thing time he needs to use it, he plugs it in and it's good. 345-1140. That's how you get through to the home show on News Radio. WRVA, that's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Welcome, my friends, to the home show. Remember, you can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Download the radio.com app. That way you can take the show wherever you go. And if you are looking for podcasts of the show, you can go to WRVA.com. By the way, Jordan, I would like you to know we have a little bit of success here at the home show.
Yes.
We are the most downloaded podcast for the month of May.
Nice.
That is for our little goofy Saturday show. That makes my heart just soar.
We doing this thing.
Okay. So those of you who are just like the podcast listeners, remember to tell your friends because those numbers matter to us. Well, Jordan, I hate to say it, but the vehicle, the show is pointing south and we got to take a trip.
It happens in Florida.
Now, I do appreciate everybody that sends me the Florida stories. And what's really funny is when I get the same story like 2 and 3 and 4 times. And please, again, don't send me the gruesome stuff. I don't want to hear about some guy who loses his mind and attacks his mother unless he did it with a Twinkie. I mean, let's face it. These people are nuts. There's a couple of states I wouldn't mind living in. North or South Carolina seems nice. Louisiana, not so much. Too darn hot. No. Go back north, never going to happen. But Florida, never, never, because of things like this. The ultimate in stupidity. Hillsborough County, Florida. I didn't even know Florida had hills. I thought it was flat. A Florida man tried to avoid arrest by telling deputies that the cocaine allegedly found in his nose. Okay, you know, can I stop for a minute? I get it. I'm not a reporter. But is it really allegedly found in his nose? It was either in his nose or it wasn't. There's not really an allegedly here. The cocaine allegedly found in his nose, quote, was not his, unquote, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. I don't know how that got there. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Who? Oh, not mine. Not even a little bit. During a recent traffic stop, deputies noticed that the passenger, 20-year-old Fabrico Tuero Jimenez, had white powder around his nose, according to a news release. A field test came back positive for cocaine. I was eating a donut, man. You know, it was powdered donut, and I sneezed, and it got everywhere. I didn't even know that was the... Rub the gums. I didn't even know that was there. Jimenez had a small bag of white powder cocaine, quote, concealed on him, deputies said, and a search of the car turned up a backpack containing 250 grams of marijuana and 13 Xanax pills. I don't know where that came from either, man. That's not my bag.
It has your wallet in it, sir.
I don't know how that got there. That's not my bag.
Is this your cell phone?
No.
Is this a picture of you and your family? Because you're standing right next to them, sir.
Never saw him before. Know what you're talking about. Jimenez was arrested without incidents, the sheriff's office said. It's not clear who the driver of the car was. Okay. Deputies arrested Jimenez on unspecified drug charges. Okay. You know what I've learned? Okay. Shut up. You know, you're busted. The smartest thing he could have done is just shut up. Take his licks, go to jail, get a lawyer. That was the smart thing to do. I remember I had my buddy Charlie Inch in here. You have the right to a lawyer. You have a right to not say anything until a lawyer gets there. Am I defending this guy? Nope. He's an idiot. That's my opinion, by the way. I'm a talk show host. I get to have opinions about stories. This guy's a moron. They found cocaine on you. Don't know where it came from. Stupid. 345-1140 is the phone number if you want to get through to the home show. I got a friend of mine. I'm going to be dealing with this a little bit later. A friend of mine called me last week. He thought I was ignoring him. But honestly, I've been trying to really cut down on screen time. I was listening to a radio show, and someone, the guest brought up, how much do you spend looking at your phone? The host like, I don't know. And then he says, hand me your phone. And there's a little button you can push, and it will show you how much time you spent staring at your phone in the course of a day. The host didn't realize he had spent like 4 hours and 15 minutes of his day looking at his cell phone. And I found I get bored sometimes. Instead of grabbing a book or something, I just stare at my cell phone. And then, hours. So when I go on vacation, I spend almost no time on my phone. In fact, I'm thinking about having like a digital free month where literally the only reason I pick up my phone is to answer the phone. That's it. Any other reason? Nothing. I'm not looking at Facebook on none of those things. Just be done with it. So a buddy of mine called me up. He thought I was ignoring him. And his question was, can you put a bigger breaker in a panel box? Now, I didn't understand what he was saying until I talked to him. And here's the deal. He has a house that was built in the 80s. And his son's room is connected to a couple other rooms, including the bathroom. And when he plugs in certain things, he trips the breaker. So my buddy's question was, can you put a bigger breaker in? That way it won't trip. Here's the deal. And people that have fuse boxes were the worst. There's not many of them left except in Jordan's house. But, I mean, there's not many of those left. But over the years, I cannot tell you how many times I'd walk in someplace. Usually they were rentals. And they'd have a fuse box. And fuses were designed to only fit in the space that they fit. Like, if it was a 20-amp socket, only a 20-amp fuse would fit into it. And I'd find people that literally taken a pair of pliers and crammed a 30-amp fuse in it. And the question was, why'd you do that? Like, well, it kept blowing the fuse. Well, the same thing is with breakers. Breakers are designed to reach a certain maximum amps that's going through it. But and if it reaches over that amount of amps, what it's going to do is it's going to trip the breaker. Why does it do this? So things don't catch on fire. See, in your house, every circuit is run with different gauge wire. And it's inverse to what you think. Yeah, it took me a while to get it when I was a kid, too. But, you know, a 15-amp circuit runs on 14-gauge wire. A 20-amp goes on 12. 30 goes on 10. It's inverse. It goes back and forth. And in the 80s especially, you know, save every dime you could, we ran a lot of 14-gauge wire. That was always required for bathrooms. It's always really required for bedrooms, unless you were going to put in a big circuit. We didn't have all the electronics we have today. Biggest electronics we had in the house was the stereo. That was it. Massive stereo with speakers that were 4 feet tall. Shake the house as it... Now we have a lot more electronics, and in some places, the 15-amp breakers aren't just holding. He wanted to know, hey, so this thing trips all the time. Can we put in another a different size breaker, something bigger? That way it won't trip. And my response was, no, you can't. Now, I'm yet to see what he's got. I don't know if it's a 15 or if it's 20 or what. But what I will say is if you put in a bigger breaker, what that does is that allows more amperage to go through the wire that's not rated for it. Now, I will put this caveat. There is some rumors that they're going to reassess how much amperage can go through what size wire, just because the assessments right now are based on some really old data. We'll see what happens then, but until that time happens, 15 amps on 14 gauge wire. What I'm thinking, and this does happen because it's been around since the early 80s, breakers, like anything else, you know, they wear out, they go bad. And, you know, you have a breaker that trips enough. Maybe it wasn't the most high-quality breaker. I'm pretty happy with all the quality of breakers these days. Back in the 80s, there were some that were better than others. Though I will say I'm still a Square D fan. So my goal is I'm going to go over there. I'm going to see what he's got, see if I can't cut back on the amount of stuff he's using on that circuit, and change out the breaker to a new one. But after that, it's going to have to be a new circuit, or somebody's going to have to realize you can't use two different things at the same time. My wife tried running an air conditioner and an iron the other day. Did not work. Mm-mm. Too much. She had to turn off the AC so she could iron. I don't own anything that irons, so I'll be all right. This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Radio WRVA. Welcome to the Home Show. I'm here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon, taking your calls at 345-1140. Reminding you, if you miss anything, don't worry, there is a podcast on WRVA.com. You just scroll down to my smirking face and click on it, and all the podcasts going back over a year are there. To all of you that listen to the podcast, thank you so much. Tell your friends to download, because we are doing very, very well. We got some of the numbers back on the amount of downloads, and y'all rock. That's right. I said y'all. Enjoy it. It doesn't happen very often. So I have an important project to do when I get home because of several different threats to both me, my wife, and my pets. Again, yeah, I'm still on the pets thing. Here's what happened. Okay, I was gone for like 4 or 5 days. We took a mini vacay, as they call it. And to be honest with you, more than 4 days gone, and I'm done. I'm done. I'm one of those, you know, I'm gone for a couple, 4 days, and I want to be home. I want to be back amongst my stuff. 7 days is absolutely pushing it. I've done 10, and I've done 2 weeks, and I nearly lost my mind. That's just who I am. I know a lot of people like that. I know some people, their vacation is staying home. So we come back, and I guess while we were gone last week, it rained quite a bit. Now, if you remember last week, I kind of touched on the fact that go around your house and make sure anything that could hold water has been emptied because of mosquito season. I took the dog out as soon as we got back. He went with us. And I took him into the backyard. It's fenced in. And I started looking around, and there was a flower pot that I had emptied. It was completely full, and I swear to you, if there wasn't 1,000 mosquito larvae in it, there wasn't one. And I start walking around the house, and there, just everywhere I turned, there was something that had water in it, and it had something growing in it. It was bad. And then as I'm standing out there trying to get him to pee, which is so irritating. He has become a mama's boy so fast, to the point that if she takes him out, he does his dirty little business. If I'm trying to take him out, I'm home during the day, I'll take him out, he'll run around, he'll bark at things, and then he wants to go back inside. He's not having accidents in the house that I know of. I need to get one of those black lights, shine it around. But he will wait until his mommy gets home, and then out he goes, and he's like, you know, he's like, mommy will call me a good boy. And he does it for her. Okay, fine. As long as he's not making a mess and she's taking him out, I don't care. But what has become our absolute best friend in the whole wide world is Deep Woods Off. Because you walk out into the backyard, I mean, you can literally see the mosquitoes swarming around the grass. And I don't know what it is about this year's mosquitoes, but I've had stuff swell up the size of a dime or bigger. So one of my projects for today is I'm going to have to stop by a Big Orange or Big Blue. I don't know which one. Whatever's on the way home. I might stop by Southern States. That might be a good idea. But they get stuff that, you know, it's an insect killer for the yard. Now, I'm going to have to make sure that whatever it is it's safe for adoptions, or at least know how long I have to wait before I take him out into that yard. But what I'm worried about is mosquitoes, fleas, and ticks. Remember, a couple of years ago, I had a flea infestation in the house. Cat got out, came back in, and we had an infestation that would not end. No matter how much I sprayed, it would not end. The poor cat was in absolute misery. She has an immune deficiency. Finally, I had to take her to the vet, and before I left my little tiny two-bedroom house, I set off 4 foggers. Now, I talked to BW Pest Solutions. I told them that story, and they said, a little bit of overkill there, son? And I said, yep. Overkill, and it's all dead. So, but I have to spray the yard. I have to, because I know I got to treat the dog, I got to treat the cats, and I got to treat the yard, because it's going to be an infestation. We didn't have a really cold winter. In fact, we're not having that hot of summer. Were you chilly this morning when you walked out, Jordan? I thought I needed a jacket.
Yeah.
I was like, where's my hoodie?
Yeah, exactly. I was regretting wearing flip-flops.
I will say I have my first pair of flip-flops.
Nice.
I haven't worn flip-flops in probably 20 years.
She
got them for me.
Take this sage advice. Make sure your toenails don't look like you could fly out of the sky and swoop down and catch a fish out of the ocean your toenails.
I do not have raptor toes. I keep pretty good care of them. But you know that white fungus thing that you get under your toe?
Maybe
you've seen it, maybe you haven't. I don't know why, just my big toes have it. And it just grosses me out. And I will admit, a year and a half ago, I took my left foot, I soaked it in hot, salty water for like an hour. Salty water for an hour. And then I went out on my front porch and I cut out my own toenail with an X-Acto knife.
Ugh, gross.
It was gross, but guess what? It grew back healthy.
There you go.
Now I got to do the other one. don't know why I even got on that topic. But yeah, we're going to spray down the yard because I don't want any of the fleas, ticks, or anything like that coming into the house. And here's another reason. I posted this story on my Facebook page. I'm going to have Jordan put it up on our page on WRVA. And this is a warning to everybody. I've known some people that have had Lyme's disease, and it's awful. I mean, absolutely miserable, and the effects never really go away. Now, it turns out there is something a little bit worse. Virginia, a tick, again, this is from patch.com. Virginia. A tick-borne illness confirmed to have killed a man in New Jersey last month has been seen in several East Coast states, including Virginia and the Great Lakes. In the Great Lakes, experts said, the Powassan virus, otherwise known as POW, is carried by the same type of tick that spreads Lyme disease. The New Jersey death was confirmed by the state's Department of Health last week. This is bad stuff, people. About 10%, I'm just going to say POW, okay, Powassan, okay, about 10% of Powassan virus infections are fatal, and some patients may suffer from serious long-time neurological conditions like encephalitis, which is an inflammation of the brain, or meningitis, inflammation of the membrane that surrounds the brain and spinal cord, the Center for Disease Control said. The virus can affect the nervous system, memory, thinking, and balance. The number of reported cases are Minnesota, 32, Wisconsin, 22, New York, 16, Massachusetts, 16, New Jersey, 10, Maine, 6, Pennsylvania, 5, New Hampshire, 3, Rhode Island, 3, Connecticut, 1, North Carolina, 1, and Virginia, 1. It's only one case. One's enough to start. While the POW virus is rare, it's becoming more common in deer ticks, otherwise known as black leg ticks, which prefer human hosts. Oh, yay. They prefer us, according to the Virginia Physicians of Richmond. Okay, here's some of the symptoms. Many people who become infected with POW virus do not develop any symptoms. The comparison period time from tick bite to onset of illness ranges from about 1 week to a month. So this thing can be in you from anywhere to a week or a month before it infects you. Symptoms can include fever, headache, vomiting, weakness, confusion, loss of coordination, speech difficulties, and seizures. About half of survivors have permanent neurological symptoms such as recurrent headaches, muscle wasting, and memory problems. There's no vaccination or medications to treat or prevent POW virus. In other words, you get it, you got it. If you think you or your family member may have POW virus disease, see your healthcare provider for evaluation and diagnosis. People with severe POW illness often need to be hospitalized. Treatment may include respiratory support, intravenous fluids, medications to reduce swelling of the brain. Here's some tips to avoid infection. Avoid direct contact with ticks. Like I said, we use the Deep Woods off every single time we go outside. Time to walk the dog. We're spraying down. Walk in the center of our trails. Avoid wooded and bushy areas with high grass and leaf litter. Yeah, I got to cut the grass in the backyard. Repel ticks on skin and clothing. Use repellent that contains 20% or more of DEET. Always follow product instructions. Use products that contain permethrin on clothing, treat clothing, and gear. I'm just saying, folks, going to go outside. One, treat your yard. Two, make sure you are protected. This is something even nastier than Lyme's disease. And I've known people that have had it, and it's just awful. There's no real treatment. You just deal with it until it goes away, if it goes away. When we get back, it's Father's Day weekend. I'm going to tell you a story about my dad. This is The Home Show. RVA 345-1140 is the phone number. Nathan in Powhatan.
Hey, Richard. Ticks.
Yes.
This advice I got from a game warden, who's now a former game warden. Garlic extract supplement every day. They'll bite you, but they don't hang on.
Interesting. Now, here's a tip for you. Say you don't have any, bug repellent. WD-40. It has a certain amount of kerosene in it, and that will act as a bug repellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that one before.
Okay, but garlic, I eat garlic. I'll eat more garlic. I got no problems with that whatsoever.
But I take a supplement every day, and I think I've had one. I found one tick stuck to me in the last 2 years.
I just need to find something that repels the mosquitoes because, I mean, I got eaten alive. All right, thanks, Nathan. I appreciate it, and happy Father's Day weekend.
Yeah. You too.
Bye. All right, bye. It is Father's Day weekend, you know, and we do a lot of stuff for Mom. We make a big deal out of Mom. But let's give Dad a little props, you know? Dennis, you're a dad, aren't you? Are you? You've got a son? He's working on it.
There we go. Yes, I am. My son is almost 30 years old.
So he's the same age as Jordan.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And a fine young man both of them are.
Yeah, they're
okay. Fine young men both of them are.
Yeah, they're okay.
I was thinking something similar, but go ahead.
Are you doing anything special with your son for Father's Day?
No. I think he's out of the area, but I am going to treat myself. I think I'm going to go hang out at a nice little restaurant and sit and enjoy some memories and that kind of thing. And maybe I'll talk to him a little later on in the evening.
I think that's excellent. Now, Jordan, your dad is still with us. So
yep.
Gonna give a shout out. Tell us a little bit about your pops. Come on.
My dad he had a blue collar career as a contractor, such as yourself. He did a lot of manual labor, painting and wall covering and general stuff like that. And
so he can help you with your new house.
He can. Doing what he did for most of his life, he's now paying for it in terms of, you know, back problems and all that stuff. His health isn't exactly the best anymore. But he definitely taught me the value of working hard and doing everything you can to support yourself and your family. So, appreciate that about him.
I think I appreciate that about your dad. Because I tell you what, I have had a lot of fabulous producers. I'll put you in that list, okay?
Right.
And every single one of them goes back to good family values being raised.
Yep.
And that's both parents in this. You know, I'm not saying everybody needs two parents. I just heard all of America shout at me. Okay. And no, I've had some that, you know, came from broken homes. You know, they had two sets of parents. That's okay. But if having a, you know, good parents does lead to better kids. You've been great.
Yeah.
So,
haven't been too bad.
Shout out to, what's your dad's name?
Brian.
Brian?
Yep.
Okay. Bondurant.
Yep.
It took me a long time to get that right. And much like, Jordan's dad, you know, I during Mother's Day, I tell you, my creative side comes from my mom. All of it comes from my mom's side of the parental. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Your dad had something to do with
it. I was getting there.
Well, I was waiting.
It's called storytelling.
Is that what it is?
It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. You can't just jump into the middle of a story.
But it's Dad's Day.
And I'm getting there.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. You know, you give some guy some time on the air just because, he's a dad, and I've got 45 years in broadcasting, Richard. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, that's 57. I'm sorry, joking. Okay. not that long.
No. All right. No, but my dad is responsible for the knowledge that I know on how to do stuff. And, you know, I can tell you, I can say with all honesty, there was probably 100 weekends that I wanted to go outside and play. And we had to work on the tractor. We had to do something on the house. You know what?
Yeah, but that's a good time, man.
Weekend after weekend, splitting wood so the house would stay warm that winter. All of these things when you're a kid sucked. But
But think of what you learned, though.
What, think about what you learned.
There you go. And how much fun you had. The bonding. You know, the relationship between fathers and sons is extraordinary. And the reality is we learn to be men from our dads. That's an important thing to understand. There's some things you can learn from dad. Dad alone.
I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. During the work, I don't know there was that much bonding. But then, you know what? I can think of 100 weekends where we went fishing with him and my grandfather. So 3 Charles R. McCanns in one boat.
Oh, that had to be fun to watch and listen to, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was all right. But here's the story I love to tell. This is the funniest one. Because I started when I was about 10 years old working with the old man. Because, you know, I didn't see him. He was a construction worker. He was running a business. You know, that kind of thing takes up a lot of time. So weekends, after school breaks, I would work with dad. And slowly but surely, he'd teach me how to do something. Now, just like kids that go to school, the moment you stop doing it, you forget it all. I took the test, I passed it, and I have forgotten it completely. It is gone. And this went on for years. It went on literally for years. He'd say, "I'll go do X, Y, and Z." I'm like, "How do you do that again?" And he's like, "Oh, for the love of..." And of course, this is a construction site, so it was all cursing. But, you know, total and utter frustration.
Well, you know, one of my favorite stories I tell about my son is that one time when he was about 7 or 8 years old, he didn't want to get up and go to church with us. And I'm like, "What's going on, man?" So we sat and we talked for a little while. We had these little conversations that we would have.
Sure.
And he says to me, I said, "Why? Why don't you want to go to church?" He said, "Dad, I don't want to go to church dressed like this with a shirt and a tie and a pair of pants. I want dad clothes." I said, "Dad clothes?"
Yes, he did. My heart just broke a little bit.
He said that. And so he said, I said, "Okay, what do you mean? I want to look like you." So I took him to a place in Northern Virginia called Baccarat. I don't know if it's still there anymore. I had a tailor to fit him, to have him stand there where he got his everything measured and everything else, put a suit on. And that next Sunday, man, let me tell you, Richard, he was knocking on the door an hour early trying to get us out of the house to go to church.
Tell me it's like the sweet peach color long jacket.
Oh, no. We don't do that. No, no.
I drive through Verina past the Baptist church. I mean, people walk ladies in their crown. But let me finish this.
Go right ahead.
So I'm 17 years old. It's summertime. I'm working with my father. He tells me to go do. Wow. It was summer break, and he tells me to go. I don't know. Put something together electrically. And I looked at him. I'm like, "How do you do that?" And he's like, "Damn it, Richard! How many times do I have to tell you? You know what? You might not be mechanically inclined."
Well, he may have over or underestimated that.
Well, yeah. Maybe so. But, Pop, happy Father's Day. I'll give him a call
tomorrow.
There you go. So to all the dads out there, I hope you have a great day, because we wouldn't be the people we are without you. And that's all of them. I'm talking the stepdads, too. I was a stepdad. And not that long ago, my stepson, his mom and I split a long time ago. I must have had some kind of impact, because he invited me and my new wife to the wedding. And I tell you what, I'm a tough guy, but I did cry just a little bit, because that meant so much to me. My friends, it's that time. Let's go, Jordan. That is another home show in the can, burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early and pushing all the right buttons. Mr. Dennis Edwards for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. Hey, spend some time, or at least give him a call, to your pops. And if you're a younger person, leave him alone. I'll see you at 10 o'clock right here on News Radio WRVA.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.